Now we're holding on page 62 in Bava Metzia, a few lines into Ois Lamed Beis, three lines from the bottom. We were learning yesterday about what happened after Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon had passed away. Rebbe proposed marriage to his almana, and she turned him down and said, basically, my husband was a greater tzaddik than you were. And Rebbe asks her, I know he was greater than me in Torah, but what about my Sintoivim? So she says, you're saying he was greater than you in Torah? Fine, I'll take your word for it. I have no way of evaluating that. But that he was greater in my Sintoivim, no question about it, because he accepted Yisurim on himself. So the Gemara says, "B'Torah Ma'ihi." Where do we see that Rebbe has a basis to say that Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon is greater than Torah, and he is? Now, I mean, you could say Rebbe was a famous honor, but as we know, anivus doesn't mean setting aside your own capabilities. It means being able to put him in perspective and knowing if somebody else had those, he'd be even greater. So for Rebbe to be able to say that Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon was greater in Torah, there has to be an actual basis for it. So what was that? So we have to go back many years earlier when Rebbe and Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon were younger Talmidim. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and Rav Yeshua ben Korcha would be sitting on benches in the Beis Medrash. Rashi points out there were many other Chachamim with them, but they were the two Gedolei Hador, and therefore they're the ones who are going to feature in this story over here. The usual rule then was that Abayim would sit on benches and the junior Chachamim, the Talmidim, would sit on the floor. So the two senior Rabbanim, Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yeshua ben Korcha, are sitting on benches. Yasvi Kamayu, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon and Rebbe Ara. Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon and Rebbe are sitting on the ground in front of them. Makshu Mafalku, and they would be asking questions and answering. So as the learning was going on, Rebbe and Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, the two young Talmidim, would be asking all kinds of questions and then bringing answers and then really enhancing the learning. Omru, so eventually the senior Chachamim said, "May mehem anu shoisim." What is this? We're drinking from their waters because we're learning so much from their good questions and answers. Behem yoshvim agavi karka. They're sitting on the ground. It's not right. Abdul who sapsili, so they made benches for them, askinu, and they promoted them. Now they can sit together with the senior Chachamim on the benches. However, Amalahu Rav Shimon Gamliel, says to them, I don't like that idea. Psida achas yeshli beinechem, I have one precious dove among you, meaning my son, Rebbe, v'atam avakshim la'abda heimeni, and you want to make me lose him, because he might have an ayin hara, might affect him, and then what's going to happen? So, achasua l'Rebbe, so they demoted Rebbe back onto the floor. So he'll sit with the other Talmidim. Omalahem Rebbe Shur ben Korcha, and then Rebbe Shur ben Korcha says to the other Chachamim, we shouldn't discriminate like that. Misha yeshle of yichya, or misha enle of yomus, does only the one who has a father, Rebbe, whose father, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, is alive, and voiced this objection, then he should live, he will be demoted back to the ground and not have to worry about ayin hara, and the one who doesn't have a father should die, in other words, there's nobody to look up for, there's nobody to stand up for Rebbe Elazar ben Rav Shimon, then he shouldn't have the same problem. Rashi explains that by this point, Rebbe Shimon Yochai had passed away. Ben Yehoyada argues on that and says, the fact is, we see in a lot of places in the Zohar that Rashbi was still very much alive, even when Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon was an adult, and the whole of the story takes place when he was a relatively young Talmud. So rather, he says it can mean that Rav Shimon was out of town at the time and not able to voice his opinion on the matter, or just that Rav Shur ben Korcha means that Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon doesn't have anybody to stand up for him because Rav Shimon is not going to get involved in this for whatever reason. In any case, they accepted the argument, Achsu Nami Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, so they demoted Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon as well, and now they're back both onto the floor. Cholash Daite. Now he felt bad. Now who's the he? So there's two possible ways of explaining it. It can mean that Rebbe felt bad at having been treated this way. It could also mean that Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon felt bad. Marsha seems to take it the first way. So Rebbe was not upset when they were first promoted together. It is true that an ayin hara is more likely to affect those who are more important. So when they first promoted them both to the benches, then Rebbe And then Rebbe didn't object when they put Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon up there with him as well, because fine, we'll both be kosher, we're going to be equally well susceptible to Ayin Hara. But now when they're taking them down one by one, so Cholosh Daite, he felt bad. Marsha seems to understand that it's Rebbe who felt bad. You seem to be considering him equally as important as me. Meaning, in other words, why should it have to be? Why should it have to be that he also gets demoted, and he also, if there's going to be a possibility of Ayin Hara, why are he and I considered on an equal level as far as that? So that's what Marashah says. In other words, because Ayin Hara showed that Yosef HaShuvim, Ayin Hara is more important, people are more susceptible. So therefore, when they first brought them up, then he doesn't object to that, because fine, then that means, in other words, we're both in the same boat. But now if they're going to take me down, and then they're going to take him down as well, showing, in other words, that they're as equally well concerned for Ayin Hara affecting him as me, why should it be so? Aren't I on a higher level than him, it seems? That's how it seems to be how Marashah understands it. Ben Yehoyada says that no, what it actually means is Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon was the one who objected. He had wanted to be on the benches because, not for the covered, he's not looking for the covered, but because then Parshat people will pay more attention to what he says. When he's a Talmud, people may dismiss what he's saying, you know, you're just a Talmud. But when he's on the benches, then people are more likely to pay attention, and then he can get his Torah out, which of course he wants to. And now also he's saying, Ben Yehoyada also brings from the Chidah, that a person, here we're saying, as Marashah is saying, an important person is more susceptible to Ayin Hara when he's being treated with prominence, but when he actually deserves that prominence, then not. Because one of the points behind an Ayin Hara is that people look at him in a negative way, like, why does he deserve all that covered? And that has bad effects. But if people realize Itaka deserves that covered, then that doesn't cause Ayin Hara effects. Well then, Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon is saying, in effect, why are you demoting me? Because you're saying that Rebbe and I are on equal levels, and we're both, neither of us really deserve to be on the benches, and therefore you're demoting both of us because of Ayin Hara. I kind of deserve to be on there, and therefore they shouldn't be worrying about an Ayin Hara on me, and I should have been able to say. So now there was a change in how Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon would relate to each other as Talmidim in the Beis Medrash. Adahu Yoma, up until that day, Kiyava Omer Rebbe Milsa, if Rebbe would say something in the Beis Medrash, whether a question or an answer, have a Messiah later Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon. Then Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon would support him, would point out it's a good question, and bring evidence that this is a good question. If he gave an answer, then he would support him and show that this is a good answer. So all of this, he would give Rebbe covered. Mikan ve'elach, from now on, after this, then things changed. He have Omale Rebbe Yeshli Lahoshiv. If Rebbe would start and would speak up and say, you know, I have a question on what you Chachamim just taught us, Omale Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, then Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon would preempt him. He wouldn't even give him a chance to say the question. He would say, Kach v'kach yeshlacha l'hashiv. Yeah, I understand that this is what you have to ask. I understand what you're thinking. And you should know Zuhi Chuvoscha, and you should know your question is not really a question, because he was the answer to forestall your question before. Hashta, and now what would you have done? Hikaftonu Chuvas Chavilas Shein Behem Mamash. You would have surrounded us with bundles of answers that are meanings. In other words, he's putting down Rebbe and saying that
the last sentence should not be heard.
Well,
that was the...
Yeah, okay, whatever the case. Cholosh Daita to Rebbe. So Rebbe felt bad that Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon is treating him that way. Marashah says also he felt bad that it also meant it's not just that Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon is treating him that way. It's also, I mean, that would be Rebbe himself, again, was a famous honor. Maybe that wouldn't bother him. But Marashah says actually what bothered Rebbe was it seems Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon understands my way of thinking, so he's able to figure out in advance what questions I would have, but I'm not able to realize what he's getting at, because he's able to come up with good answers to preempt my questions, showing, in other words, that he has greater knowledge of Torah than I do, and Kinasoy from Tar B'Chochma, and Rebbe felt bad that he's not reaching that level of Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon. Omale Lavor, so he went and told his father that page Lamed Beis in Bava Metzia. So he came and told his father, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Amalei, so Rabbi Shimon answers him, Bni al Yera Loch, my son, don't feel bad, Shohu Ari ben Ari, Va'ata Ari ben Shul. He, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, is a lion, the son of a lion. meaning a great Talmud Chacham, the son of an equally great Talmud Chacham. The Ata, Ari ben Shul, whereas you're a lion, you're a great Talmud Chacham on your own, but you're the son of a fox. Now, what does that mean? Now, so first of all, this is great omnibus of Reb Shimon Gamliel to put himself down like that and say that he's like a fox compared to Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. First of all, actually, there is. Some Tzedek actually has an a vort on an Ora Torah that there is, it's not just omnibus, there is actually, well, there is a degree of omnibus in it, namely, Ari Ben Ari. To say that somebody is an Ari, that Tzemach Tzedek explains, represents that he's in the Shoma of Atzilus. To say that Yeshua, like you have in Pirkei Avos, Rosh Lashualim, refers to being a neshama from Bria. So Reb Shimon Gamliel takes the view, Reb Shimon is a neshama from Atzilus, which he taka was. I, at best, I'm a neshama from Bria. So that's great on Nivos, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, is say that he's from a lower, that he's from a lower world, and in fact, maybe taka was a neshama from Atzilus as well. In any case, on a more down-to-earth level, Marsha says, first of all, what it means is, you know, he's an Ari ben Ari. Who says that he actually came up with the question and the potential question and the answers on his own? Maybe he learned it from his father. And therefore he's faster at coming up with it. Whereas you and Ari ben Shul, you didn't have somebody of that caliber to learn from, and you have to hold of it on it yourself, and therefore you're not mechaven so quickly to what he's thinking. Another point, Maharsha says, later on, the Gemara is going to point out that a Talmud Chacham, the son of an Amma Aretz, is more likely to show off his learning because of the very fact that he comes from a family of Amma Aretz, then his Torah is something unusual and that tends to be more, and he usually tends to make it more noticeable. So he's an Ari ben Ari, he doesn't need to ask on every single thing. You're an Ari ben Shul, so therefore you have that natural tendency every time to want to ask and to show, and to show your prowess as a Talmud Chacham. Ben Yehoyada has another point as on it as well, that he's telling him because he's an Ari ben Ari means he doesn't have to, exactly, so he doesn't have to work as hard at becoming a Talmud Chacham, whereas you're an Ari ben Shul, you have to put much more effort for it, you get a lot more credit for the effort. So the Gemara continues. So anyway, we see from this story though that Rebbe has good reason to consider Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon greater than him in Torah, as we see that in those younger years when they were both yeshiva bacharim, then Rebbe could think up good questions and answers, but Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon was faster than him and was able to figure out in advance what he's going to ask and even the answers to it. So, behind the Omer Rebbe, that Reb Shimon Gamliel, Rebbe's father, called himself a shul, a fox, relative to Reb Shimon Yochai, behind the Omer Rebbe, this explains what Rebbe said, Gimel in the Sun and Hay, and there were three truly humble people, three really humble people, groups of people, in Jewish history. The Elohim, and they are as follows: Abba, my father, Ubnei Beseira, the Bnei Beseira with the story of Hillel, which the Gemara is going to quote a line of that in a minute. The Yonasan ben Shol, and Yonasan, the son of Shol Amelach, we see where each one of those at some point was willing to set aside their covered in front of some in face of somebody greater than them. Reb Shimon Gamliel Hadamara, and as far as Rebbe's father, Reb Shimon Gamliel, we just said that he calls himself a Shul relative to Reb Shimon Yochai. Bnei Beseira, where do we find the Bnei Beseira? De Omamar, we have the whole story in Pesach, in Psachim, involving when Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, and the Bnei Beseira, who at the time were temporarily running, were temporarily running the Sanhedrin, they didn't know whether the Korban Pesach was brought on Erev Shabbos, and Hillel had just arrived in Eretz Yisrael from Babel. And they asked him, and the Gemara tells the whole thing of how he proved to them with a variety of explanations, apitoda, that in fact you do bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. And the end of the story was, Hoshi, not the end of the story, but whatever, a major part of the upshot of that part of the story was, Hoshivuhu Barush, they appointed him at their head, Ominuhu L'Nossi Aleihem, and they appointed him the Nossi. And that's how Hillel became the Nossi. So we see that these Bnei Beseira, they were exceptional Anovim. They were willing to set aside, like this, they have the cupboard of being the acting leaders of the Jewish people, and they set it aside because they realized that Hillel is greater. Yonas and Ben Shol, and an example with Yonas and Ben Shol, to Ka'omale the David, where we see it at one point during the time when David was hiding out and running away from Shol, so Yonas comes on a secret visit to him and tells him and encourages him and tells him, don't worry that my father's chasing you, he's never going to catch you. Va'ata timlecha Yisrael, you will end up ruling over the Jewish people. Vani eyel chol mishnah, and I will be your second in command, your viceroy. So we see now, at this point, Shaul is still alive. B'derech HaTeva, after Shaul passes away, Yonasan will be the next king. Okay, Shmuel had already told Shaul that he forfeited the kingship, but fine, still, B'derech HaTeva, Yonasan would be the next king. But he's voluntarily saying to David that I'm willing to forego that, be your mission of the Melech. Later on, we see that David, in fact, went and looked for a descendant of the only surviving descendant of Yonasan, Mephibosheth, and brought him and made him an honored guest in his palace. An interesting possible side thing to that as well. In Divrei Yomim, in two places, and in Perek Ches and in Perek Tes, it gives a whole family tree that descended from Yonasan. Yonasan had a son, Mephibosheth, who had a son, Micha, and then it traces down there generation after generation until you get to a fellow named Otzel, who had six sons. That pasuk is repeated twice. The Gemara in Pesachim mentions that the Chachamim used to have hundreds of camel loads of drushes just on that section of Divrei Yomim, what it represents, the Pnimius in Yomim. In any case, I once came up with a chap, which I have no idea if it's valid, but may as well mention it. One of the six sons of Otzel mentioned over there is named Azrikam. Now later on, you find also in Divrei Yomim, in the times of King Ahaz, who himself was a Rosha, you find that one of his chief officials, Asher al-Aboyis, that was in charge of his palace, was also named Azrikam, and this Azrikam was killed in a battle against the Aseres HaShvatim. It works out fairly well as far as the Seder Adoris, as far as the number of generations. So it is possible that it is the same Azrikam, and in that case, we would see that even generations later, David's descendants are still making sure to have Yonasan's descendants be in whatever high role in their government that they can, that they're suited for. Yes. Again, I don't know if that's correct, but it's a possibility. Anyway, so the point is, so we see that they were all great Anovim. But the Gemara says, Mimai, who says when it comes to Bnei Beseira and when it comes to Yonasan ben Shaul, not necessarily the fact that they said what they said or did what they did is necessarily a demonstration that they were such anovim. Dilma Yonasan ben Shaul, you know why he says to David, you'll be king, because he realizes it's inevitable anyway. He sees that everybody is following David. He sees even back when David had been serving as a general in Shaul's army, he was extremely popular. David, the pasuk says, and other such expressions like that. So the fact that he had been anointed by Shmuel, Marashal says, not everybody knew that. Maybe Yonasan didn't know that either. But the fact that he sees that David is very, very popular, and B'derech HaTeva, the people are likely to accept him as the next king, so it might just be that Yonasan is bowing to the inevitable. So that doesn't necessarily show such great anivus. Bnei B'seir Nami, and as far as the Bnei B'seir also, D'chozol L'Hilol D'Odif Minayu. The fact is, they saw that Hilol is greater than them in knowledge of Torah. So what's going to happen? Rashi points out, and up until now, people are asking them questions in the Beis Medrash, and they don't always know the answer, and it's embarrassing to them. So now, when they have somebody that they know who'll be able to answer all the questions, then they'll gladly give up the job to him in order to avoid that continued embarrassment. So that also doesn't necessarily show such great anivus. There's no question, though, among these three, Rav Shimon Gamliel is definitely showing anivus by calling himself a fox, as a lower level neshama and a lower level talmud chacham compared to Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, because there's no particular need that he needs to do that. If it's just to make Rebbe feel better about his abilities in Torah, he would have had other ways to do that without putting himself down. Elsewhere, by the way, the Gemara does mention at the end of Menachos that Atakeh is very, very difficult for a person, once he's been appointed to a high position, to step down from it voluntarily. Is Atakeh a very difficult thing? You have the famous story over there with the sons of Shimon HaTzadik, Chonya and Shimi, and a whole story involving that where one of them originally declined the position and then still got jealous and tried to frame up his brother, etc. And the Gemara mentions over there that one of the Chachamim says in that vein, you know, he says before I was appointed to a high position, if somebody told me I should take up such a position, I'd tie him up and put him in front of a lion, because I would say, absolutely not. You're endangering me by even suggesting such a thing. But now that I have that position, if somebody told me go abdicate it and give it up, I'd empty out a kettle of hot water on top of him, because I couldn't bear doing such a thing. The Rebbeim talk about when you have with the Baal Shem Tov, we know that his son Reb Tzvi followed him as Rebbe for a year, and then Shavuos, exactly a year later, he said that my father came to me in a dream last night and told me to give the Nesios to the Berenu, to the Mizrach HaMagid, and he did, and the Rebbeim commented on that later, how rare that is, as we see from this and similar Gemaras, how difficult it is for a person to do such a thing. Now, we said before that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon's Almona had said to Rebbe that my husband was greater than you because he had Maisim Tovim, because he accepted Yisurim on himself. So Omar Rebbe, Chavivin Yisurim. So Rebbe says, I see from this that Yisurim are a precious thing. We see that it helped Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon that all those years that his body didn't decay and wombs didn't eat it, as the Gemara is going to say soon, it caused tremendous good things for the world all those years that he had the Yisurim. So Rebbe realized, you know, this is a positive thing. I should take that on myself as well. Kabbalah Leit, Tleisa Shni. So he accepted on himself 13 years of Yisurim. In the 13 years turned out to be Shis B'Tzmirta, 6 years suffering from Tzmirta, which Rashi says is bladder stones, which are extremely painful. V'sheva v'tzafdina or v'tzafirna, and 7 with a mouth disease that actually translates to the French word, which in English is called thrush. Sometimes your babies sometimes have thrush, and it's uncomfortable for them. For adults, it's a lot worse. Rabbi Nachmanu gives a different explanation that tzafirna or tzafdina, however you pronounce it, is a toothache. In modern Hebrew, they use tzafdina to mean scurvy, which is a disease where the gums bleed very heavily and the chlal, where various parts of the body don't heal and don't function correctly. In any case, so Rebbe had 7 years of that. Others say it's the other way around, 7 years of bladder stones and 6 years of tzfirna. Whatever the case, it was 13 years altogether. Now, let's give you an example. The Gemara goes on to say, how much pain was Rebbe in during that time when he's having these Yisurim? So by way of background, Ahuraire de Bei Rebbe have a osu mishaber malka. Rebbe's stable boy, who took care of his horses, was richer than King Shaber. King Shaber was the king of Persia. Persia at the time was a very great major world power, and of course the king was extremely rich. But this stable boy, this groom of Rebbe's, was even richer than that. Why is that? Tosfos says because he would sell the waste, he would sell the dung from the horses. And he became, then Rebbe had so many horses, and people were willing to pay such high prices. People were willing to pay top dollar for it. We find that Rashi brings on the Pasuk by Yitzchak Avinu from the Medrash that people would prefer to have the dung of Yitzchak's mules rather than Avimelech's gold and silver. So in the same way, people preferred to have the dung from Rebbe's horses, and so the stable boy would sell it and became extremely rich from it.
Fertilizer, sir.
Yeah, for fertilizer, Parsha, yeah. And for fertilizer, I mean, they could use it for other things as well. We find sometimes in Shas, sometimes they would dry them and use them as fuel for ovens and fires and things, whatever purposes they could use it for. Yeah. So because Rebbe in short had a lot of horses, had to have a rummy kista lechevesa when the stable boy would be putting out food fodder for the animals, for the horses and the other animals. Have also color the tlos amili. The noise, the sound of the animals when they would be neighing and demanding their food would travel three mil. That's how many animals there were. That the noise, that there's the sound of it, you could hear 3 mil away. Have a mechavin. So this stable boy, during the years when Rebbe was suffering from the smirta, from the bladder stones, which are extremely painful, have a mechavin. He would time it the rummy that he would throw, that he would put the food out for the animals by he shy to die Rebbe leves akise at the same time that Rebbe is going to the bathroom, because he hoped that the noise of the animals would drown out Rebbe's screams. Even with all of that, Rebbe's voice still out heard over the noise of the animals. Even sailors in the sea could hear Rebbe's screams from the pain. So you see what tremendous Yisurim he was going through.
Just so he could marry this widow?
No. This is not even so he could marry the widow. Just that Rebbe realized Yisurim is an amazing thing. It has tremendous effects on the tzaddik himself and on the world at large. And therefore, Rebbe realized that it would be a good thing for him to accept Yisurim on himself. Va'afilu hochi, even with all of that, Yisurei de Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon adifim de Rebbe. Nevertheless, even with all of that, Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon's Yisurim were greater in a way that were more important, more significant in a way than Rebbe's. De'ilu Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon, me Ava bo, me Ava hohu. Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon's came through Ava and left through Ava, as we learned previously, that every morning he would tell them to go away so he could learn Torah, and every night he would tell them to come back. So he was voluntarily controlling when they come and when they go, so he wouldn't be distracted from learning Torah. And that means, again, that's the ultimate Yisurim Shal Ava, because Maharsha brings over here from the Gemara and Brachas that we learned yesterday, that says that when Yisurim do not interfere with a person learning Torah, those are real Yisurim Shal Ava. Those are Yisurim that really show the closeness between the Tzaddik and the Eibishter, and that they bring him to a higher level. The Rebbe, whereas Rebbe Yisurim, Alide Maisa Bov, Alide Maisa Hoch. They came to him through a Maisa, through something that he had done, and they left because of a Maisa. So they weren't completely under his control. Now, Maharsha explains, in other words, what happened was that Rebbe had davened for Yisurim. Again, he had accepted Yisurim on himself. So it was decided, Min HaShemayim, there will be 13 years of them, but what triggered it, unlike Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon, who decided on his own when it should start and when it should end, with Rebbe, he didn't decide on his own. He just, it was decided, Min HaShemayim, that it will start at a certain time. And it didn't go away every day. So it wasn't as much Yisurim Shal Ava. So the brief explains somewhat differently that the vote would be that they did come through a Maisa, but the fact that it remained for 13 years was that Rebbe agreed to that. Once the Yisurim were coming on in Min HaShemayim, then he agreed that it should remain for 13 years because he realized how important and precious Yisurim are. H. Yosef points out the number 13 is the gematria of the word Ava. So he wanted to accept Yisurim Shal Ava, therefore it came in a figure of 13 years. Why Dafka 7 of one and 6 of the other? Ben Yehoyada gives an explanation, Api Kabbalah. One thing is also, he points out that the way we were saying is one of them involved his mouth, whether we say it was thrush or toothache or scurvy or what have you, and the other one involved osimokim, the bladder stone. So those represent, as we say in Pasach Aliyah, the mouth is malchus, the yisoid is yisoid, and those are the sixth and seventh spheres respectively. So therefore, six and seven in the numbers. What that means as far as the slang the 6-7 the teenagers are saying now is initially. Okay. So Alide Maisa Bo Maihi, what was the story that caused Rebbe's Yisurim to come? Dahu Egla Dahu Kamamtu Leila Shchita. One time they were taking a calf to be shechted. Ozel Talya Lereisha Bekanfei De Rebbe. The calf went and buried its head in Rebbe's skirts, in the hem of his clothing, in the edges of his clothing, the kabochi, and it was crying. It didn't want to be shechted. Amalah, but Rebbe says to the calf, Zil, go away, l'chachnoi tzauta, that's what you were created for, to be shechted. Amri, so they said in the Beis Din Shamayla, Hoyo v'loi komerachim, since Rebbe in that showed a bit of a lack of rachamim, laisu alei yisurim, then yisurim should come on him. Why, what's the connection? Maharsha explains, it is true, the Gemara elsewhere says, Soif behem l'shchita, the end of an animal, the ultimate purpose of an animal, is indeed to be shechted. But not usually when the animal is so young, when it's a calf. Usually it would grow up and have a useful life, the plowing, and then at the end, you would shecht it. So now, after all, a person is also soif. So the same Gemara says, Reb Meir comments the Gemara says in Brachos that when Reb Meir would finish learning Sefer Iyov, he would say the bottom line of that Sefer is soif behemah l'shchita v'soif adam l'misa. A person eventually, after 120 years, goes and a behemah in the end gets shechted. So, well, by the same token, if Rebbe is going to say even when the calf is young, zil l'kach netzauta, that's what you're created for, then in Shemayim they're going to say, you know what? Then the fact is, a person is also eventually is going to die. But nevertheless, usually that should happen a long time from now, but in between he'll have Yisurim. So that was the connection. A number of Mephoshim talk about the idea that it's not so much, again, you know, it is a valid point. An animal is meant to be shechted, but there's still the way that he phrased it sounded like a little bit of a lack of rachmanus, and therefore he was treated harshly min hashamayim, because tzaddikim are always held to a higher standard. Ultimately, it was 13 years, we said, because he accepted on himself. But in other words, the vote is not what was he expected to do, take the calf and raise it, lavdavka, but at least if he's going to send it off, at least he should be doing it more gently, like, I feel your pain kind of thing. Show a little sympathy for it, basically.
And his meat is talabi shemayo, or regarding the animal itself, there may be good friends.
Either way, you should have shown a little sympathy for the animal, or. Then Yehoyada also makes a point that the vote is, now, of course, if the animal is shechted and the meat is eaten l'shem shemayim and people use the energy for Torah and Tefillah and so forth, then good, it makes an aliyah for the creature. But after all, who says that that's going to happen? And then he says this calf may have been a gilgul of somebody who needs a tikkun. So it's coming to Rebbe for the tikkun. Don't allow me to be shechted. You can be mesaken me without me needing to be shechted. You can do whatever it takes to be Mila, the neshama that's within me that's currently in this gilgul. So instead, Rebbe says, go be shechted, zilakach netzarta, and he has no way of knowing what's going to happen with it and whether its tikkun is going to be accomplished, and therefore he was treated, therefore min hashamayim, he was given yisurim because of that.
The previous Rebbe, when he starts a parsi, would say quietly so that the chicken wouldn't hear.
Interesting. Okay, and do kaparas quietly so the chicken wouldn't hear. So there's this idea that a tzaddik has a certain sensitivity to the feelings of an animal, even if it doesn't know the difference. Yeah.
Animals understand they're going to be shechted.
Yeah, but that's not the point. Is that even the calf itself doesn't necessarily understand what he's saying when he says zil lakach mitzarta, but nevertheless he should have shown a little sympathy for it. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, there's a famous Musar sefer called Shevet Musar. He has a line in there of one time in Spain back when it was full of Jews. One time there was a Yid who, to make a long story short, there was a town where they were going to be having a bullfight, as of course they always do in Spain, and that night, the night before the bullfight, the father comes to his son in a dream and tells him, I was misgaugle in that ox and in that bull that's going to be in the bullfight, and what's going to happen? It's going to get killed, and I'm not going to have my tikkun. You have to arrange that this bull gets ransomed from that and gets shechted and the meat given out to Bnei Torah, and then I'll have my tikkun. And the son goes and then deals with the government officials and whatever, and manages to get it arranged. So that was the story of how Rebbe got his yisurim. Ayde Maisa Holchu, what happened that was saying that because of the Maisa that caused Rebbe's yisurim to go away? So what happened was, Yom Echad Havakakan Sha'amse Debe Rebbe Besa, Amse De Rebbe Besa, one day, a Rebbe's maidservant was sweeping up the house. By the way, I mean, we find in a number of places in Shas, Rebbe's maidservant was an exceptional woman herself. I mean, very probably had a lot of maids, but there's one particular maidservant of Rebbe who's mentioned in a number of places in Shas as being a very, very sagacious, very wise woman.
Barton?
No, I don't think it says her name anywhere. Anyway, so one day she was sweeping up the house. Havashadya b'nei karkushta v'kokan shalahu. There were some little weasels or mice were lying there on the ground v'kokan shalahu, and she's sweeping them up to try and get them out of there. Omalah, so Rebbe says to her, shavkinu, leave them alone. Ksiv v'rachma v'kol maisa. The pasuk says, Hashem's rachmanus are on all his creatures, even these little mice or whatever they are. Amri, so now they said, Menashamayim, Torulim Racham Rachimon, now that Rebbe has shown a great and exceptional degree of Rachmanus, Niracham Alei, then we will have Rachmanus on him, and at that point his Yisurim are over, the 13 years were over. So what's the connection? Maharsha says that now the chulda, however we translate chulda, mouse, or weasel, or rat, or whatever, is considered the lowest of all creatures. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Chulin, famously, that every creature that lives on land has a parallel in the sea, with the exception of the chulda, and that's there's a couple of places in Tanakh where the world is called choled, kapitel mem tes, fazinu kol yoshvei choled. The earth is called choled because it's the only place where the chulda lives. But there's no water holder. So therefore, it represents the lowest of the low of all the gashmiistic creatures. In the sense, in other words, that creatures that live in the water are on a higher level of ruchnius, which is why, for example, fish don't need shchita. there's the in Lechut Torah and Parshas Shemini, there's a whole explanation over there that, that land animals represent lower level tzaddikim, and when water animals represent higher level tzaddikim, which is and then Al Tadabi explains over there that's a deeper reason why we eat fish before meat on Shabbos, v'chola v'chola. So the point is that that we're saying, so Maharsha says, so the fact that the Cholda lives only on land shows that it's the lowest of the low, and nevertheless Rebbe has rachmanis on them. Even on the lowest, and therefore it was decided in Hashemayim that Rebbe's Yisurim can now be over also.
And for people also, there's like you said, a person that lives in the water?
No, people, I mean, people don't live in the water, but no.
There is...
The Al-Tadabba talks about the idea that, like, Leviathan represents really high-level tzaddikim, and the Shur Habo represents lower-level tzaddikim, and the Bechlal, land animals versus water animals, represent different levels. The creatures in the water are surrounded by the element that they live off of, and therefore they represent Almadei Skasya, and they represent a higher level of Olamos, and so on and so forth, yeah. So in any case, the Bechulda is the lowest of the low, and Rebbe had Rachmanis on it, so therefore it was decided that that we should show that the Beis Din Shamayla should show Rachmanis on him also. So the Gemara continues, Kulu Shnei Yisuri did Rebbe Lozer, throughout all the years of Rebbe Lozer's Yisurim, Lo Shochid Inish V'lo Zimne. Nobody ever died before his time. Meaning, Maharsha says, what happened? The tzaddikim were niskaper through his yisurim. The rishoyim, he had gotten rid of, because that was his whole job earlier in the story, that he was the chief of police, and he caught the rishoyim and had them executed. So therefore, so during his times, nobody died a natural death earlier than he needed to. Kulish Shnei Yisurei de Rebbe, during all the years of Rebbe's yisurim, lo itzrich alma lemitra. The world did not need rain. Now, why is that such a bracha? The Omer Rabba Bar Rav Shila, Kosher Yom Demitra Ki Yom Dedina. A day of rain is as difficult as a day of judgment. Because Pashuk you have, and people want to take trips, for example, and gets and it gets interfered with by the rain. People, there's a lot of hullabaloo in the streets, and people get wet and everything. So the fact is, I mean, rain is a bracha, of course, but it is on the other hand, there is an element of a yom hadin in it. The Omer Amemar, in fact, Amemar says, he loved Sorech La'alma, if it weren't for the fact that rain is needed for the world, Bo Rabon and Rachma Alai, Umvat Linenlai, the Chachamim would have davened for Rachmanus that rain should be altogether misbatel, and the Eibishter would provide us our water in other ways. But instead, we need rain, but we should realize that there is a Yom Adin element of it. So all those years when of Rebbe's Yisurim, they didn't need that Midas Adin, and therefore the world is being supplied with water anyway. Now, I feel a hockey, even so. So you'd say for all those years, 13 years, there's no rain, there must have been a terrible drought. No, if you would pull out a radish from a bed of radishes where they're growing, have a kind of beta malyamaya, you would see over there the hole that was that in the ground that it came out of was full of water. Namely, that there was water coming up from the Tehoim, from the underground subterranean water cable, and watering the earth that way, and then that way they don't need the rain with all the hassle that brings, and instead they have all the water that they need anyway. So now, Maharsha points out like this. In Rebbe's times, now you had the tzaddikim and the Balei Tshuva are being helped by Rebbe's Yisurim. What about the Rishoyim? Well, that's why what we're saying is that the Midas Adin would say that you know what? So sometimes the tzaddikim and the Rishoyim all have to suffer equally, because sometimes that's how Midas Adin is, that it extends over the whole world. But no, now we're saying over here that no rain was necessary, and that way, in other words, everybody benefits from it. Another point Maharsha says is that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon had been killing ganovim. So therefore, so his Yisurim, so now when he was the scapper through the Yisurim, then the schus of that is that nobody has to die young. Rebbe had acted with a slight bit of achzorius, and that was what brought his Yisurim. So now he's zoicha to a midas harachmim, and therefore that means there doesn't have to be a midas adin all those years in the world, which is where the midas adin is represented by rain. The Al-Tadabba, by the way, points out in Lechut Torah, you know, we have the expression gvurois geshomim, meim samaskirin, gvurois geshomim. So rain is an expression of gvura. Now, how is that? We usually talk about that water is chesed. So one point is that gvura divides up chesed and moderates it, so that because chesed by itself could be too intense. So the fact that rain is separated into individual drops, as the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma, we'll get to it in a few weeks, that's the Shem, that the Eibishter created a separate pathway for every drop. So that's an example of gvura. So therefore we call it gvuris geshamim. So we see that there's an element of din in the in rainfall, and that they didn't need in that they didn't need in Davram, that they didn't need during the years of Rebbe's Yisurim. The Rif points out over here that further on, we're going to learn in another day or two, Be'ez Hashem, that there was a time in Rebbe's lifetime when they needed to daven for rain. Now, we're saying over here that they didn't need rain all those years. So he says, first of all, of course, that could have been after the Yisurim went away. But second of all, also, the story in the Gemara that we're going to have later on is that Rebbe was told that Reb Chiya and his sons have special abilities as far as tefillah, so Rebbe really wanted to have them, so he made a tainus that they should daven for rain, not so much for the sake of the rain, because they didn't need it, but rather in order to bring about Tchias Amesim. Because that, as Gemara goes and tells the story later on. So the Gemara says, Ikla, the Gemara continues, Ikla Rebbe la'asrei de Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon. Rebbe one time, years later, visited the town where Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon had lived. Amalahu, and he asks the people, Yeshle ben la'oset tzadik, did that tzadik Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon have any sons? Omruloi, they told him, Yeshle ben, he does have a son, but he's completely gone off the derech. V'chol zoyna, she niskeres v'beiz, any zoyna who usually gets hired for 2 coins, meaning, in other words, Yad Yosef wins from the Marashal, that it means that that she, usually a regular zoyna, would charge only 1. She's extra in demand, and therefore she charges 2. Sechauta, the dalad, or beches, she would hire him for 4 or for 8 zuzim, because, in other words, she would be willing to pay for him because he's so handsome. Either she'd pay double what she herself usually would get, or even kifle kiflayim, double that. In any case, so he's completely off the derech. He's definitely not what a son of Rabbi Elazar and a grandson of Rabbi Shimon should be. Asye, so Rebbe brought this boy, Aslechei the Rebbe, the first thing he did is give him smicha with the title Rebbe. Now, how can you do that? You don't give smicha to a person like that. So one possibility is that he gave him it basically on condition, if he lives up to it. And he gave him over to Reb Shimon ben Issi ben Lakonia, who was his mother's brother. Why Dafka, his mother's brother? So first of all, obviously he's his closest relative, so he'll take good care of him. But Ben Yehoyada also points out, you know, we say Roy Bonim during the Lachaya Aim. So therefore, so Rebbe is saying, you know, the fact that this boy is like that is a little bit of a reflection on you because you're his mother's brother. So if you want him to not be a bad reflection on you, then it's your responsibility to make him into what he should be. The boy, every day he would say, I'm discouraged. I give up. I'm just going to go back to my city, and I'm going to go back to my old life. So Reb Shimon would tell him, I don't understand. Why should you want to do that? Chakim avdu yosach. They made you a chacham. They made you a chacham. They're teaching you Torah. The gulsa de dava posu aloch. They spread over you a golden talus because that was part of the ceremony that they would do back then when they gave a person smicha. And we're talking about the original smicha, Ishmi Piyish, from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rebbe Kodoloch, and they're calling you by the exalted title Rebbe. The atamat the kuyosi on the ezel. You say, I want to go back to my town? Why are you giving all this up? Omar Lahu, so you would tell them, you know what, you're right. Mumi, I swear, Mumi is a Lashon of Shvur. Azuva da, I abandon this idea. Fine, I give up that idea, and I'll stay put, and I'll continue learning Torah. And apparently, this would happen over and over again, and each time they would have to motivate him in this kind of way. He Godol, eventually, when he grew up, also Yosef the Mesifta the Rebbe. He came and sat as a Talmud in Rebbe's Meis Medrash. Shamei Lakole, Rebbe overheard the voice of the newcomer. Omar, he says, Hokola kolit domi lekolit de Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon. This voice resembles the Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon's voice. Omrulei brehu, they said it's his son. Oh, Rebbe was very happy that he realized that his efforts had borne fruit. Koriale, he applied to him the pasuk, Tzri tzadik eitz chayim, the fruit of the tzadik is a tree of life. In the schus of the tzadik, who is a tree of life, his fruit didn't just dry up, but it became tack of fruit, nourishing fruit, like the sun here. V'lekeach nefoshes chocham, and the one who takes souls is a chocham. So he explained, Tzri tzadik eitz chayim zeh Reb Yosi, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon. So he's now the pre from the eitz chayim, from Reb Shimon and Reb Elazar, that now we have the third generation who also is tackled becoming what he's supposed to do and becoming a tree, part of the tree of life. V'lekeach nefoshes chocham, and the one who takes nefoshes, who brings nefoshes, is a chocham, zeh Reb Shimon ben Issi ben Lakonia, who accomplished that, who made him into the Talmud chocham and tzadik that he is now. Eventually, Kinoch Nafshe, later on, when this Rabbi Yossi passed away, Amtiyua Lama'ar to Davua, they brought him to the same Ma'ara where his father and his grandfather were buried, the one that we said yesterday, where they had brought Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon in Miron. Again, there was a snake surrounding the cave and not letting them in, like we learned last time about Rabbi Lozer. Marashah pointed out, by the way, that a snake being there represents that Leimes El Be'etir Shal Nochash. If the only reason this person passed away is because of the Chet Tadas involving the Nochash, where because of that everybody has to die. Omrullah, they said to the snake, Achna, Achna, Psach, Pich, Yikonis, Beinei, Tzalaviv, open up your mouth and let the son, Rabbi Yossi, come to be together with his father, Rabbi Lozer. Loi poscholahem, but it didn't open up for them. Now, unlike we learned yesterday that when they brought Rabbi Lozer over there, it did open up, this one did not. People thought this one must be greater than that one. Rabbi Lozer had been a tzaddik his whole lifetime. Rabbi Yossi had that past, so maybe because of that he's not of the caliber of coming in to be buried with them. Yotz the Basko v'Amra, but a Basko came out and announced, it's not because one is greater than the other. Rabbi Yossi is just as great as his father. But Rabbi Lozer went through the whole tsar in the cave, the 13 years together with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi didn't, partially because he wasn't born yet at the time. But only because of that is he not now able to be buried in the same ma'ara as his father and his zayde. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Chof Kislev. Yutis Kislev, Chaga Chagim, as the post says, Potter B'Shalom Nafshim, Kvav Li Kivirabim Hoyu Imodi, and as we know, the Alter Rebbe writes in his letter that when I was saying the Pesach Potter B'Shalom Nafshi, then I came out B'Shalom, Me Hashem Shalom. I came out in Shalom from Hashem who gives us Shalom. The Teuchen of the Geula of the Alter Rebbe on Yutis Kislev is Hafatzah Samayonis Chutza. We know that that primarily began after Petterbrug. Now, because Hafatzah Samayonis in turn brings about Osi Mao Dramalko Mashicha, then it means that the Alter Rebbe the Alter Rebbe's Geula has to do with the Potter B'Shalom Nafshi of David Malko Mashicha. Therefore, it also has to do with the Potter B'Shalom Nafshi of Hashem and the Jewish people, as the Gemara says that when a person learns Torah, Kilo Pudaani Liul Avonim Ben Umas Olam, it's as if he redeemed me and my children from among the Umas Olam. So the Alter Rebbe's Maisu Geula and the spreading of Chassidus after that is an important stage in that. Okay, we were talking about in Hilchos Hashkamos HaBoker about what a person should be saying in the morning in terms of the korbanos and other things. So if a person knows, that you talked about that a person should be doing Toras Ola, Toras Chatos, and the rest of them. So if a person knows that he's Chayav Chatos, he should say Parshas Chatos and then Parshas Ola. Again, as we said yesterday, the Alter Rebbe doesn't have either of them in the Siddur as it is, but if a person is saying them, he should first say the Parsha of Chatos, then Ola, because that's how it goes. The Chatos is Mechaper for the Aveda that it comes on, and the Ola is a present, so the Kapora has to come before the present in the sense that first, if a person, as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, in the Geras HaTshuva, if a person has sinned against the king, first you have to have the king want to see you again. Then he'll accept your present, not the other way around. Therefore, the Chatas comes before the Ola. This is actually a topic that will be in a couple of days, as the Shem and Dafayomi in Zvach, in Perak Kol HaTodir, which Taka discusses that point of what Korbanos come before which ones, and one of the basic rules is indeed that a Chatas always comes, or almost always comes before an Ola.